Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Scene Podcast. We're starting something a little bit new on The Scene Podcast, a new thread, if you will. We're going to conduct a series of interviews, so contacting people in the know, people who work in theatre, new writing, audio, the arts generally, I suppose, and to see what we can learn from people who have learnt all the lessons, made all the mistakes, and been in the game a hell of a lot longer than we have. And we are delighted to start that series of interviews with the very funny, very delightful Julia Sauerbutt. Julia is the founder of Ink Festival, which is a new writing festival that takes place every year around this time. And Ink Festival 2024 is the 11th to the 14th of April, so just a few days from now. And we're really pleased to be collaborating with Ink Festival this year and for many years to come, hopefully. We have already podified one of the plays that's going to be presented at Ink Festival this year, which is called Who You Are by Isabel Setano de Rocha. I'm sorry, Isabel, if I butchered that. We're going to be at Ink Festival with a little listening station telling people about who we are. See what I did there? And indulging in a big old new writing love-in. So, one more time, Ink Festival, the 11th to the 14th of April in Halesworth, Suffolk. We're going to be there. We think you should too.
It's mad. You're mad. You're a mad person for doing this.
I did think about that. I'll babble on about that in a minute.
Okay. Well, let's get to it then. Julia is the founder of Ink Festival, which is a new writing festival, which takes place in Suffolk, not Norfolk. Keep trying to call it Norfolk. It's Suffolk.
North Suffolk.
North Suffolk. That's one to get your teeth in for, North Suffolk. And the Scene Podcast is going to be collaborating with Ink Festival this year. We're going to be producing some of the short plays that are going to feature at the festival. One at the moment, hopefully more as the weeks go on. But I just wanted to invite Julia on today to talk a little bit about her experience of the world of theatre and the world of new writing. Because really, the Scene Podcast, these interview episodes are an excuse for me to pick the brains of people whose career I might like to emulate over the years. So welcome, Julia, to the podcast, first of all. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Don't emulate my career because you won't earn any money.
That's fine. I am used to that and accepting of it. So first of all, please, could you just give us a little bit of your background, a sort of career background as to where you came from and how you ended up here?
I came from Leicester, right, which I never used to like to admit until Leicester City won the football championship a few years ago. From Leicester City. After school, I went to Durham University and studied anthropology, hoping that I would grow out of wanting to be an actor. But I spent my whole time at university acting. And after that, I went to drama school, the drama studio, and did a postgraduate course.
Oh.
I started by chance. I had no connections with Suffolk at all then. My first job was in Suffolk. It was a summer theatre job. And I started with what was called weekly rep. So I did a different play every week. And why I ended up here eventually was my mother came to see me in every play every week. And she so liked it up here, she bought a house here. So I carried acting. I mainly did theatre. I seemed to do a lot of Vics. Bristol Old Vic, Young Vic, New Vic, West End, European tours, around England, all sorts. And then I had four children. So I stopped for a bit. I came to Suffolk about 25 years ago to live permanently. And I really thought perhaps that was the end of my life. But I decided that I would say yes to anything that cropped up. And I began to act again. And also, by chance, I started to direct. And I never thought I would direct. And I loved directing. I started off in my village and then I sort of went out directing professionals. I had a very good core team around me who had done a lot of big time work. And then I thought, I need to know more rather than just being an actor who directs and picked up things. So I went back to university and did an MA at UEA.
Okay.
At UEA, this is the University of East Anglia, they have, the students, drama students, have a short play festival. And that's where we got the idea from. And that's how Ink started. We started off with 15 submissions, 15 plays for our first festival in 2015. And this year we've had 1,000 submissions.
Okay. That's quite a lot of growth in the 8 years. This is your eighth year, isn't it?
Well, we would have had 10, but we lost 2 with COVID.
Oh, of course. And what did you do over COVID?
The first time it was cancelled, it was about 3 weeks before, which was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But people were very nice. They let us keep a lot of the money. But, you know, people that have bought tickets. Before anybody else, we decided to commission 1 minute monologues and 2 minute duologues. And every day for a year, they were on Suffolk, BBC Suffolk Radio. Actually, they're still going now on another radio station, a local radio station.
Excellent.
The second year, again, we were cancelled the following year as well, but we didn't know it. We took over the radio station. We did a whole link program. It's very nice not to be doing it all online now, I must say.
Yes, back in person. And when you did the call out for scripts in that first year, did you publicise it just within the university or did you publicise it?
No, I'd left.
The county?
No, I brought some good scripts from people that I'd known, the scriptwriters at UEA. So I brought some scripts with me. And it was after the success of it the first year that I said, if we're going to carry on, we're going to have to do a lot more. We're going to have to be a lot more professional. We're going to have a website to start off with. And then gradually it's grown. The really big help with us growing is the BBC scriptwriters room. And the first year we were on it, we'd have scripts from around the world. And remember him saying to me, are you sure you want them from around the world? I said, yeah, we welcome anybody in the whole world who wants to write a script. And I used to print them off myself.
God.
One day I was on a Greek island and I was getting about 60 a day. I was panicking that I was going to lose them. I was writing them down. I'm thinking, I can't cope. And somebody said, you're going to have to give them to somebody else. We have a really good, thorough reading process. There's no point in me ploughing through 1,000 scripts on my own. We call ourselves the Biscuit Club, and we have 60 volunteers, some actors, directors, producers, teachers, theatre enthusiasts, people that love literature, and they help us with the initial cull. And every script is read 4 times. We read them on the paper copy and the initial cull. They'll write on the back, you know, 1 out of 5, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5. And I'll read them. And if I think I get through 5 pages, I think, oh, God. And I look at the back, 3 other people have said 1 out of 5. I won't carry on. But if I'm enjoying it, it doesn't matter if they don't like it, if I've enjoyed it. And then at the end, there's somebody else that's reading them as well. So we can all exchange ideas. Mm. And then we cut it down to a long list. And then myself and the 2 associate directors, we read the long list and create a short list. And then we try and put them together into groups of maybe 5 short plays. And casting, we have to try and keep the casting to as less as possible. So you try and cast it with 3 or 4 actors that can be in all the 5 plays. And then we send them to the directors and they choose. So I feel it's not just our taste, which I think is a good thing.
Okay, I see.
Some plays go by the by. I think, oh, I'd have loved us to have done this.
So that's quite an interesting question, which wasn't in the questions that I sent you officially. But it's just so based so much on taste, isn't it?
That's why I think it's really good that a lot of us are reading it.
Mm.
It's not just my taste. Hmm. I like to be immersed. So I like it to make me laugh, or I like it to make me cry, or I like it to make me think, or just be entertained. I want to be engrossed. I want to know what happens next. That's my criteria. I don't want to be lectured. I don't necessarily want it to be a sketch, although if you're writing a 5-minute piece, it's sometimes hard not to be, but have a bit of oomph about it. Something you come away feeling changed, whether you've been uplifted or you've learned, or that is my criteria, but it might not be. Other people have different criterias. They're probably more serious than me. I don't know.
No, it's nice. I mean, I think first and foremost, as a reader on the scale that you're talking about, you have to know what you like. So this is your 8th, should have been 10th, but this is your 8th Ink Festival coming up in a matter of weeks. I'm interested, what are the biggest challenges for running a festival of this scale, and what are the biggest rewards? So the challenges and the rewards.
Challenges. Well, there are lots of challenges, and often sometimes the biggest challenge, isn't it, is when it's unexpected. It suddenly happens. Like we just had somebody drop out. Famous person being interviewed. So that's a challenge. But overall, by far the biggest challenge, and it's getting harder and harder and harder, is financial.
Right.
That is, I'm not an enormous fan of the Arts Council.
Really?
They have given us a little grant this year, but it's very hard to know really what they're looking for. But all the other grants, we're a charity, and all the other grants and trusts, so they'll say, well, you got a grant last year, so you can't get it this year. Or a lot more people have asked for it, so we'll give you £500. I mean, we get 1,000 here, 2,000 there. Really, we need about 250,000 a year, and we have no core funding. And a lot of the Ink team, myself included, are not paid because we couldn't carry on if we were. We pay the performers and things, but not, you know, not as much as I'd like to. The Arts Council criticised me for not paying myself. And I said, we're trying to help people. If I pay myself, then we don't do it. So what would you prefer? But, you know, you can't win, can you? So that's a big challenge. My second challenge, and it's a real bête noire, is recognition. Recognition from a national level. Now, I think we're beginning to be recognised by actors and certainly by writers. They're always saying in the press, oh, there's nowhere for young people, and not just for young, any new to learn a new trade, to learn how, you know, to practice writing. You wouldn't have a plumber who hadn't practiced on a pipe. Mm. You can't have a writer who hasn't seen their play being put on. And one of the things we do is we use very good actors, as good as we possibly could. They're all professional. And some of them are really top. I mean, we've got people straight from the National, straight from the West End. And so we give the play as best a go as we possibly can. So they learn. Because the plays are short, and the reason they're short is because then we can do more of them. I can easily say, let's have a short play festival. Let's do seven plays. But that's what a lot of people do in a whole year. We do 70. So that's 70 writers that are going to get a chance to learn something. Sometimes you can take a 20-minute play and say, okay, let's develop it out into an hour or an hour and a 20. We've done that a couple of times. But generally, if it's good at 20 minutes, it's not better at an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So people think, oh, the press think, well, it doesn't have a life. And directors and producers, therefore, there's no point in me coming to see it. Also, the press, they say, well, you're not going on to anything else. Well, actually, we have done. We've taken maybe 10 of the best plays a few times now and then toured them all around Suffolk. Fantastic. You go and see 2 hours, you get 10 plays. And we've taken them into London. But still, they don't come. And I find that incredibly annoying. And I've just been really pushing the stage, actually, and saying, why don't you come up? And those were the reasons he said. But we're different. We're different. Yeah. We're doing a lot of help to a lot of people.
Mm.
So the recognition is really difficult.
Yes.
And I don't care, you know, oh, well done, you're doing this. That's not what we're doing it for. If we get recognition, we're more likely to get funding. If we get funding, we're more likely to carry on. And more recognition, then we'll attract even higher caliber of guests and performers, which again, in turn, helps the writers. That's what I want recognition for. And it sets me greatly that they can't see. Nobody wants to come out of London. And another thing, we are doing, they always bemoan the lack of youth, you know, involvement at schools and things. We have masses of free. We work all year, but not just a festival. We go into schools all year. We do lots of things, all free. We've toured to schools. We just toured with a wonderful play about county lines to over 40,000 children, probably. Have we saved some deaths? I would imagine we probably have. No credit given whatsoever. But I realise how expensive it is to tour to schools. So we now have tagged on an extra day to the festival. We have an entire day given over to schools, the schools festival. They have exactly the same programme. We just programme in which ones they're seeing. What, about 300-400 school children coming. Some of them have never seen the play before. Again, nobody recognises it. And I think that's unique. And the other thing is reading 1,000 scripts and selecting the play. Hang on, let me let my dog out, sorry. What are the good things? I'm having to look these up. The rewards were certainly the schools festival. I mean, we had a pilot of it last year, and I thought having 300 school children, they would giggle, and you know, some of the plays maybe they wouldn't enjoy. They were gobsmacked. And we afterwards, we all come out on stage and we talk to them all. They're all around. They're seeing 9 different venues.
Yeah.
And they came up with such interesting questions. Mm. And it's not that they're going to be actors or writers or directors, but it's they're seeing maybe their life or something they've thought on stage. Some famous directors who said, if you don't see it, you can't be it.
And,
so the Schools Festival really moved me.
Yeah.
I get a huge thrill from writers. Some of the writers, many of them are first-time writers, and their reaction when their play has been selected, you know, they just, oh my goodness, you've changed my life. I've been submitting plays, I've never got any reaction before, no one's ever even replied to me before. I can't tell you how grateful I am. This is so wonderful. And then you see some in a bigger way that's life-changing is that they go on and do other things. You know, they're picked up by other companies, the writers, or they go on and write for the BBC, or actors. Actors are maybe just starting out on their career, or actors that had stopped for a bit and, you know, suddenly they got a new lease of life, or they got an agent, or it's a huge networking opportunity because there's 40 actors. And they all, if they're all in one group of plays together, then they might rush off and do a different radio with a different cast, and then they might do a play reading with another lot. And they have a really good time. It's what theatre used to be like. It's how you learn your trade. My weekly rep.
Yeah, I was going to bring it back to the weekly rep because nothing like it exists anymore.
You're thrown in.
Yeah.
And you get on with it. And you learn. You learn from the experienced actors. You watch. You have opportunity to watch. I remember I did School for Scandal in the West End with Nicola Padgett. You're probably too young to remember who she was. She was in Upstairs, Downstairs. She was quite small. She was playing Lady Teasel. And I used to watch her for the wings. And I just don't know that people get the opportunity to do that so much anymore.
Yeah. Lovely. Thank you. Thanks for those responses. So, I mean, why, when you talk about it being so important that writers see their work, and then you went on and talked about, you know, the networking opportunity for actors to be together in rooms, why do you think it's important that we keep those environments kind of fertile and going?
You mean the networking or getting people to write plays at all?
Anything, I suppose. The sort of the arts, I suppose. Why is it important? I might not use this, but yeah, I might do.
Why is it important? I mean, gosh, you only need to look what everybody turned to in when the lockdown was the arts, wasn't it?
Sorry.
But that's another thing that upsets me, is that people like the Arts Council, they never seem to see, appreciate the ripple effects. Mm. I had a young relate, my daughter, who was ill with cancer. So it is not that I'm aware that other charities like the cancer charities are not phenomenally important. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying for a minute that the arts would stop that. But you can have people that are have serious issues, mental issues, but if you're part of a group, you're working on something together, it can change your life. If you're somebody, we've had school children do things and parents have come up to us and said they found their tribe, you know, and if you've got even in that tiny way, it's important. Or you see something that somebody else, you know, sort of gaslighting and things like that, when you don't maybe realize it's happening, yes, to you, but when you see it, then you understand. Mm-hmm. Look at the post office scandal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is hugely, but never mind the amount of money that the arts brings into the country. It's mm-hmm. just one of, and we're very good at it. It would be such a shame to lose it.
Thank you. So on to our final question, and then we'll wrap things up. So we are a podcast called The Scene. I'm interested to hear about a scene that for whatever reason has stood out to you. So I know you've been reading a lot recently, but it could be something that you've...
I don't know whether you meant a scene, because all our plays are sort of maybe 20 minutes. Does that count as a scene?
I suppose it does. I suppose I'm trying to kind of silo the thoughts into a moment or... yes, you can go for one of the plays that you've read, something that jumped out at you and why it did.
I don't know whether it was when I read it, but when I saw it. So one of the plays we had, I'm trying to remember what year it was. It's quite a long time ago, possibly 2018. It was a play called White Girls. She was actually only a first year student at university. And it was a story of truth. I mean, based on the truth, because she'd been there, of two sort of gap year, white middle-class privileged girls going out to help at the Calais refugee camp, but it would, before it had been disbanded. And it was a really clever play because you saw it through all their eyes, and they thought they were very do-gooders and they were quite proud of themselves at the beginning. And then you saw it through their eyes. And one of the descriptions was when they first got there, it was like, why do I always go blank? What's the biggest pop festival in this country?
Glastonbury.
Glastonbury. She described it like Glastonbury. Imagine Glastonbury. She's, mm-hmm. you know, she went. And it was such a clever play, and so moving. The audience would stand up, gave it a standing ovation every time anybody saw it.
Wow.
The really interesting twist at the end was, you'd think, was that that they would be changed. But she was brave enough to say they then went back to their comfortable, cosy lives at the end of it. But it was such that scene when they looked out and you kind of saw it through the horror through their eyes, mm. with the way they described it. I think that was one of the most moving plays we've had for me.
And you remembered it. I mean, you really remembered it. That question is interesting to ask people because people have always got an answer, something that just banged them in the brain.
Oh, I could say it a lot. Just the one, that's it.
Just one will do for today. Well, listen, thank you, Julia. Thank you very much for your time today. And
thank you.
Let's do a final question about, give us the elevator pitch for Ink Festival and when it's on and how people can visit or get involved.
So, thank you. The 8th Ink Festival is on now, very shortly, April the 11th to the 14th. It's in Halesworth, which is in North Suffolk. And there's a train station about 1 minute from the main venue, the Cut Arts Centre. But we are in 9 other venues. We describe it as a bit like a mini Edinburgh. So we've got 70 plays. You couldn't possibly see it all in a day. But alongside the plays, in case you see 10 plays or so and you think, oh, I want to see something else now, we've got poetry and comedy and workshops and talks. What's different about us is also is that you buy a day ticket. So you might come on Thursday and pay £25 and you can see anything you like from 10 in the morning to 7 at night. And the plays are grouped together in hour-long what we call pods. So you can sit for an hour, maybe upstairs in a pub, and you'll see 5 plays. Then you might have a cup of coffee, and then you might go into the Scouts Hut and see 5 more. And then you might go to the theatre at the Cut and see another 5. And then, I say, you might do something else. We have play readings as well. And then in the evening, we have a whole range of different events. We've got the Comedy Club coming. We've got Suffolk Short Film Festival coming. Other comedians and big music events. It's a fantastic arts festival, but with a huge onus on theatre.
Well, thank you very much. And if people want to submit their work for next year, they can do that too, can't they? Any writers are listening?
Well, let's soon. Oh, I also haven't said that as well as writing about anything, we often give ideas as well. And we've got plays about the environment. We've got links with heritage. We have theme plays. The new ideas for 2025 will go up probably in about May. It's all on the website, and we'll open, I think submissions open June this year, 2024, and shut around September.
June, September, that's the window to submit.
Yeah, and you can write about anything, 20 minutes or under. And 20 minutes is not 20 pages.
Note, people.
Obviously, it depends how you space it out, what size it is, but read it.
Get the kitchen timer on and read it to yourself.
It doesn't matter if you haven't written a script before. We've had lots of first time. It doesn't matter if you're age 10 or 90. We're not just for young, we're for everybody.
I love that. Thank you, Julia. Thank you very much.
Can you stop recording now?
I'll stop it in a sec. But we will be at Ink Festival. The Scene Podcast will be at Ink Festival, making a nuisance of ourselves. But yeah, for now, I'll bring it into the interview. So thank you very much, Julia.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Julia and Maggie the Spaniel, for being our first interview guest on the Scene Podcast Talks 2. I don't know, I'm going to have to come up with a snappier subtitle for the interview thread. Suggestions on a postcard. I really hope that they are all as easy and enjoyable as that. I had such a great time talking to Julia, and I'm really looking forward to meeting her in person on Saturday. If you've got any suggestions of people you think it might be cool for us to talk to, then please send those suggestions in. We've got some really cool conversations in the can already. I've just got to edit them and get them out. We're going to put links to the festival and anything else we think might be relevant in the show notes for this podcast. And thanks very much for listening. See ya. See ya.